Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I'm excited today because I get to hang out with my amazing wife. And also, we are going, since it's Valentine's, we are going to be talking about purpose as always, but purposeful on sex, love, and marriage. So what we have chosen to do this Valentine's is bring in specialists, and we are going to be talking to Tony and Alyssa DeLorenzo.
Alyssa.
I do that every time. Thank you for correcting me nationally, worldly.
And DeLorenzo, not De.
Dude, everybody just correct me. Okay, great. So
that I love you, John. It's okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So, Roar Nation, you just got to be part of my correction. That being said, we are going to dive in. They have the number one marriage podcast in iTunes. I've actually recommended them on other podcasts myself because we listen to them regularly. So that being said, and now we got names corrected, I want to hear more about your guys' love story, a little bit about how you guys met, and then the journey of where you are now.
All right.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Let's see. If you'll hop back in time with us to the summer of 1994, you know, pre-cell phones, pre-email, pre all of that, and I was an up-and-coming senior in college. And I had been waitlisted for an internship program at the University of Colorado Boulder. And 3 days before the internship program was supposed to start, I get this phone call saying, hey, we've got a spot for you if you still want to come out. And at that point in time, I was weighing spend a summer at home with my parents under their roof and their rules, or a summer in Boulder, Colorado, doing research. And I'm like, it was really kind of a no contest. I was like, okay, mom, dad, you have to take me to the airport in 3 days because I've got tickets being FedEx to Boulder. And so flew out to Boulder, and the internship program had rented the Delta Chi fraternity house for us to live in for the summer. And they had hired four of the fraternity guys to be our, they called them hashers. So it was like our morning cook, and they did like the yard work and maintenance around the house. And Tony, lo and behold, was the morning cook.
That I was.
Dude, I'm impressed. Off to a good start.
Yeah.
Well, it gets even more impressive because 4 days before I arrived, he had turned 21. And so he was somehow managing to get up every morning and make breakfast for us the summer that he had just turned 21 in Boulder, Colorado. Yeah. So
we met over, you know, watching World Cup and O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. That's where we hung out that summer.
Those are our two like big memories.
Yeah,
those are the two big memories of 94. We had a blast that summer getting to know each other. It was never meant to be a long-term relationship, though. We knew that Alyssa was going back to her school in Indiana, and I was going to be finishing up at Boulder. And so it was really just supposed to be a fun summer fling. In all honesty, just fun. Let's enjoy this time. And, you know, long story short, 21 years later, we've spent married, you know, been known each other for 23 years. But it's been a journey for sure.
Wow.
If I remember right, I think if you were in Boulder, that was my number one pick to go to school. But if I'm not mistaken, you guys went to the Fiesta Bowl, like give or take 1 or 2 years while you were there at school, Tony.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know 91 is when I went in, and the year prior we won the national championship game against Notre Dame.
Okay, so it must have been a couple years after I went and watched that game in Phoenix. Anyway, side note, I just remember because it was like the coolest game I ever went to in my life.
Hey, the Buffs, they're awesome, man. When you got a Buffalo running down the football field, there's no greater joy. It is interesting, though. So Alyssa left. Tears in my eyes, just heartbroken that she was leaving. I didn't think there was going to be anything after that summer. But when she was at the airport, tears were streaming down my eyes. I'd given her roses and I was heartbroken.
Aww.
we began to connect, just calling each other daily. This is pre-cell phone, so we didn't have minutes or anything. We actually had to pay for all our minutes.
Quarters, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
long distance phone bills. Yeah.
That adds up so fast. And I remember, though, the first time I actually flew her out to Boulder, and we were going up to Winter Park, and it was the game against CU Michigan Hail Mary. And I remember driving up to Winter Park, listening to that game on the radio. And it's one of those fondest memories I have still of those early years.
I just remember getting to, because we were staying at a ski place up there, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember getting up there and he's like, wait, we can't do anything. I got to watch the end of this game. And, you know, it's a good thing I enjoy college football, because that was definitely an indicator of what my next 23 years were going to be like around college football season. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, you guys have obviously been through quite a journey, and from your journey, you guys have created this marriage podcast that's number one on iTunes. And I know we've enjoyed listening to it. And John has interviewed you guys, and I think you guys were show number 5, and we'll put that in our show notes. But what would you guys say is the biggest challenge for you to work together, and how do you overcome those challenges?
Wow, the biggest challenge.
I'm laughing. I'm waiting to hear what he's going to say.
I think I'm going to let you say yours first.
Oh, way to walk away from that one.
Good idea, Tony.
Ladies first. The biggest challenge I think that we have is that our business is marriage. And so we are constantly, you know, one extraordinary marriage. We're constantly in this marriage world, right? We're learning, you know, and researching on communication or trust or sex. And so like when we have our downtime and like we're talking about our marriage, it like so often bleeds together that sometimes our challenge is separating what's work related from what's relationship related for the two of us, because, and this happens with a lot of, and not just couples that work in the marriage world, but couples that do work together. When do you draw that line to say, you know what, let's leave that at the office. Let's pack all that up and say, you know what, that's great. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning. And let's get back to focusing on just the two of us.
And I think that can be for any couple who, you know, you work different jobs or whatever. I think the biggest challenge, it goes in line with Elisa, is that when are we going to be spending intimate conversations, sexual time, financial time, spiritual time together that's like uninterrupted from all the other. Like, it's very easy to just talk about work, kids, and laundry. Mm-hmm. And so being able to be intentional about these areas of just our lives, our marriage, and set aside everything else. Like, just be like, everything else right now needs to wait. And it's just about her and I, mm-hmm. our dreams, our visions, what we want to be doing today, tomorrow, you know, that I would say is a big challenge as we've gotten older.
Yeah. Well, and if I can just add one more thing onto that, the other thing that I think has been a challenge that we've really had to work through over the years is learning how to play to each other's strengths instead of trying to do everything or micromanage everything is actually getting to this place of saying, you know what, you do that really well. Like, I'm just going to take my hands off of it. I'm going to trust it's going to get done. And if you've got a problem, let me know. As opposed to, well, I'm going to do this and I'm also going to do what you're doing. And I'm also going to be over here, you know, and this back and forth. And you know, the two of you, if you're a couple working together, you have different strengths and you've got to play to those in order to move the business forward instead of trying to step on everybody's toes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I think, you know, what you're talking about is having trust and recognizing each other's strengths and allowing them to operate in that. I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with it. I was just thinking about that too. I think early on in our marriage, and I think a lot of people do, I think we focus so much on weaknesses and not strengths. And it's easy to get at each other's nerves. And it's easy to look at the weaknesses, like you guys said, instead of focus on the strength. I mean, it's only taken us like 20 years to figure that out.
Yeah.
So whoever's listening to this, you can have years between the two of us. You can have 42 years of insight of what not to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Shortcuts are good.
Yes, very good. So I want to ask you guys, we're going into Valentine's, a special day for everybody. Can you tell us what you guys do to make your spouse feel special or loved on Valentine's Day? And And the reason I ask that, I think for some people it can feel a little overwhelming.
Commercialized.
Mm-hmm. So is there something you guys do special for that?
And here's the thing. We don't. We actually go, you know what? It is Valentine's Day. And we make sure to, you know, say, I love you and honor that day. Typically around Valentine's, though, we'll actually get out and do a dinner or something actually before or just right after. And for us, it's just been one of those things that we have taken on over the years of being, you know what? Our love, we want it to be represented all the time, year round. We need to be doing that. And we think it's for a lot of couples, like you said, John, it is. It's a lot of weight to try to put everything into this one day. So instead of just trying to put it into that one day, let's find ways that we can be intentional and take action throughout the year. So that way, when it does come around, it's not like this heavy, heavy, like weight. It's like a concrete block on top of you and you got to make it absolutely perfect. Instead, it's just another day and you get to celebrate it maybe in a little fun way where it's not like, oh my gosh, we need to go to the most lavish dinner and I got to get you, you know, 5 dozen roses or things of that nature because you've spread that out over the year.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what I would say to that is be one of the first, right? So celebrate Valentine's Day a week early intentionally. Like we're going to have our Valentine's Day and we're going to do this because here's the thing, guys, if you celebrate Valentine's Day a little early, guess what? She gets to go to the office or she's at work and the flowers come and all this kind of stuff. You're going to look like the hero. Okay. Can I just tell you? Any opportunity to look like the hero. Ladies, you start honoring him before Valentine's Day and his smile is just going to grow. You know, he's just going to like, you know, the chest is going to puff. It's going to be a good thing because, you know, as we share with the one family, Valentine's Day is just one day, right? What are you doing the other 364 days that are pouring into your spouse that are saying, I love you. I value you. I cherish you. I'm so glad you're in my life. And I think we've only ever gone out. I think it was probably our first year married that we did something on Valentine's Day. And, you know, that was almost 22 years ago. And that was the last time.
Wow.
We went out on Valentine's
and
Day.
And that's so good because it really takes the pressure off of that one day and helps couples to look at it and evaluate the relationship and make that more of a priority.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, we're not saying don't do it. I mean, hey, if you're rolling by a cool flower shop and it is Valentine's Day, stop in, get something different, you know, not to say you can't get, you know, berries or chocolate covered berries or chocolates or whatever you want to do. We're just saying, hey, it don't let your marriage ride just on one day a year.
And the other aspect of that is don't let your expectations just ride on what happens on one day a year.
Yeah.
Right. Because I want Tony to love me every day of the year. I don't want it to all just be like, you know, February 14th has got to be the day.
Yes.
Right? You know, I'm like, oh, that's great. But, you know, and like to the flowers or to the treats or the gifts, know your spouse. Just because, you know, the stores all say red roses and, you know, chocolate covered strawberries are the way to go. I like sunflowers. I like bright colored flowers. So when Tony walks in with a bouquet of like all different kind of like crazy colors and just, you know, different shapes and things like that, my heart sings. Roses, I'm kind of like, well, you know, that's nice. Right. So know what your spouse likes. If they like, you know, Ben and Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, then come home with that instead of the chocolate covered strawberries. It's going to go a lot farther. Yeah, exactly. You know, speak their love language, not the one that everybody else tells you.
And if you don't know it, then this is probably the opportune time to begin to start asking questions.
Find out,
learn. I mean, I didn't know if sunflowers were Elisa's thing until one day, you know, just happenstance. I was at somewhere and I brought them home and she was like, oh my gosh, I love these. And it was like, really? She's like, oh, I love them more than roses. I'm like, oh, bonus. All right,
sweet.
Good.
You know.
Wow.
Okay. So I want to ask you guys this, and we're cruising around Valentine's just because this will be the release. But so it's quote unquote the sexiest holiday of the year. I prefer every day to be sexy, honestly.
Yeah, but, I'm with you.
But you can follow me with that. But I want to ask you this. What would you guys advice would you give to our listeners to have a closer and better sexual intimacy with their spouse?
Well, if you want to have great sexual intimacy, you got to have great emotional intimacy.
Mm.
Right? Yes. Because to be, especially especially for women, to want to be physically naked, they have to feel safe being emotionally naked with you, right? So have you created an environment where she can share her thoughts and feelings? One of the most amazing things that Tony ever did for me is when we were doing our 60 Days of Sex Challenge, he figured out, because our kids were 2 and 5 at the time, and so I was spending all day talking to kids, he came to realize that I still had all these words I had to use. And if I used my words talking to him, then I could get physically present to have sex. If he just cut me off and was like, babe, we need to have sex. Let's just do this. Then I'm like, yeah, I'm checked out, because it's all still running through my head.
Because sex is different for women than it is for men.
Bingo.
Smiles. At least it says the emotional. And I think one of the big things more for me is, you know, really looking at the romance and the foreplay. Mm-hmm. Like those, to me, I think are just, if not more important than the actual act of sex. And, you know, it's being able to connect in a way that allows for both of us to have that heightened arousal and being in that place where we're just like loving on each other, be it, you know, there's a nice sexy or like mood lamp going on in the room, or you got the diffuser or oils going on for those of you who like to use your olfactory senses, other touches and things of that nature that just heighten that sexy for me is more than just a, hey, let's hop in bed, let's have sex and let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it becomes an experience,
yeah.
Right. Our sexual intimacy isn't just about the physical act of two bodies coming together. It's about what's that whole experience. How are we as husband and wife connecting with one another in a way that we're not connecting with anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
So let's not rush it. I mean, yes, there's a time and a place for a quickie. It's definitely part of our repertoire, but we're talking about, you know, by and large, the quickie is not the only thing you need to have in your catalog of sexual, you know, positions.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, okay. I want to ask you guys, you know, John and I are going on 20 years this year being married.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Hawaii. So,
is John going with you?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I was a little confused. I was like, is John going?
Or is John just sending you because, you know, you've earned it after 20 years?
Right.
Oh, she earned it like the first year, but she's been asking me for 20 to go.
So okay.
Gotcha.
Got it on the list.
It sounds like my trip to Peru last year or 2 years ago for our 20th. Okay. So totally understand.
Yes, absolutely. So, and then you guys are going on 22 in October.
Yep. Correct.
So, you know, between the two of us, we do have a little bit of wisdom on the subject of marriage, I would say. But what would you guys say is the most important factor in having a successful marriage?
Ooh, grace. Grace is a big one. Forgiveness is another big one, I believe.
I would say intentionality.
Intentionality. Elisa, yeah, that's a good one too. Mine are big concepts. It, being intentional is one that
it just drills it down.
Yeah, it's one that we've used in our marriage for, gosh, 10, 11 years. Yeah.
Because here's the thing, you know, all of the words that get bantered about, right? Trust, communication, sex, you know, grace, forgiveness, all of those things are factors, but it all comes back to the place of, am I going to be intentional about this relationship with this other person, right? Am I going to be proactive in moving our relationship forward, or am I going to be reactive to whichever way the wind's blowing that day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, do I feel like forgiving you? Do I feel like having sex? And, you know, the reality is, you know, half the time people don't feel like doing anything.
Right. Everything's a choice.
And so am I going to choose you in these areas? Am I going to choose to create an environment where you don't have to question my trust? Am I going to choose to create an environment where, you know, if you make a mistake, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm still going to love you. Right. So it's all about this idea of, if we can choose to be intentional, then you'll make decisions in your marriage that will all come back to that place of intention.
I like that you guys said intention. When Casey asked me that question at first, I said communication, because that's the hardest one for me. But I agree with actually that statement, because being intentional, you have to be intentional about communicating. You have to be intentional about having sex, be intentional about forgiveness. So like you said, again, it really does encompass all of those things.
Yeah. And being intentional in each of those, how does that look for your marriage? Mm-hmm. So what may work for you guys may work differently for us, which may work differently for somebody else, but we can take similar tools and actions mm-hmm. and make it work for our marriage. It's just, are we willing to be intentional? Like Elise and I have been intentional with our sexual intimacy through the intimacy lifestyle for many years. We're intentional about our communication, I would say, and our emotional intimacy through the coffee breaks that we do, because that's a time for just her and I. We're intentional in our financial intimacy throughout the month. We're discussing it, but definitely at the end of the month, we do our cash flow plan and we have it and we know it and we discuss it. It doesn't have to be this hour, 2 hour long meeting. It's something that we've done for so long. We're intentional about it. We know it and we move on. So finances aren't a big burden over us, or we're wondering, do we have money this month? Do we not? I mean, it's something that we're intentional about. So looking at each one of the forms of intimacy, and then how are you intentional in it each and every day and throughout the months and years.
Mm-hmm. Those are some great tips. And what would you recommend to couples who maybe feel like they're all over the place in those areas? What would the first step be for them to maybe get on track and get on the same page in those areas?
Well, you know, first of all, it's understanding that there's always room for improvement, right? It doesn't matter if your marriage is, you know, in crisis mode and you're just trying to get to good, or if you're trying to go from good to great. We all have areas of improvement. Like Tony was just sharing with some friends of ours, Elisa's still working on how to become a better kisser after, you know, 21 years of marriage. That's just where I'm at, right? 21 years, I'm still perfecting this, right? And so you say there's room for improvement. The second thing is that don't try and do everything at once, right? And don't try and fix it all. Like if it's Valentine's Day, don't try and, you know, get the budget in line and have great sex and make the perfect date and sit down and pray together and, you know, have the most perfect conversation, because you're going to feel a little bit overwhelmed and a whole lot frazzled. And so it's saying, what's the one area that I'm going to choose to focus my energy on? We do it in business, right? It's like, you know, there's the book, the one thing. Why? Because if we focus on one thing, we can actually, you know, see results in it. And so it's, you know, if it's your sexual intimacy, how can I initiate? How can I create an environment where, you know, my spouse feels romanced, or we're having more foreplay, or I'm wearing lingerie to bed? If it's finances, what can I do to stay in budget? What can I do to create a budget? What can I do to even talk about finances with my spouse? So you start to say, what can I do in one area?
Yeah. Are you giving me that one? Okay. I'm like, Casey's looking at me. I'm like, you talking to me?
Yeah, no elbowing, folks.
This is our first interview together, so.
Yeah, we've never actually interviewed together. I've interviewed couples before, but we've never done both of us. So I'm like, I am getting elbowed right now. It's too bad it's not on video.
Oh, that would be awesome. We'll just smile, because we see you. Yeah, we're totally visualizing. It's all good.
Getting punched. Okay.
Don't bruise him.
So I want to, no bruises. Okay. I want to ask you guys this. What are some things as a couple that people are listening that are married that we can do to spruce things up, sexy games, things like that, mm-hmm. that are in a rut in the bedroom? Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing is you got to start having conversations about your sex life.
Yeah.
Part of the reason you're in a rut is because you're not talking about it. So you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Or maybe you're not. Maybe the rut is that you're not having sex, right? You know, it could go either way. And so it's getting to this place. It was so often, you know, it's like things we're not supposed to talk about. And we're told from an early age, don't talk sex, money, or politics. Well, if you're married, you should be talking about all three.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And move that conversation out of the bedroom, right? Because, you know, the only way that I found out what turns Tony on is not trial and error. It's by asking him, babe, what works for you? And having him give me an answer and going, okay, how can I take what he says and make it mine and be able to meet his needs in a way that is uniquely me.
Yeah. Being able to voice what your likes are and dislikes are, I think when it comes to your sexual intimacy is very important. And being able to share those with your spouse takes a lot of the guesswork out and enhances your enjoyment mm-hmm. of each other.
Yeah.
And so when your spouse asks you, or if you've come together and you guys have said, hey, you know what, we're going to be intentional. We're going to take some time this week on a specific day, and we're going to just take 20 minutes and we're just going to talk about our sex life. Like, what do we like? What touches do we like? Being open and honest is only going to be for the betterment of your marriage and that time together in bed. So answering with an I don't know is not something you want to do in this moment. You may need to say, hey, honey, give me a few moments to think about this. Or better yet, if you guys have a sheet that you guys are thinking of going over, for us, we have an amazing report called 19 Questions to Amazing Sex that we go over personally, and many in the one family have gone over, and it just helps. There's 19 questions, and we have those, and we know we're going to ask and answer each one of those over a certain period of time. For us now, we've been at this for long enough. We can do that probably in an hour drive. Mm-hmm. And it's something fun, and we get to learn new things about each other. If it's your first time, it may be too much to ask all of those questions in one session. So you may only ask and answer two of them, but it's so worth it.
You know, I was going to add to that is, for listeners, it is always awkward, the conversation the first time, but it's never awkward after that. So at some point, somebody has to break the ice and move forward. So I'm just being real about it, because I think for most people it can be, even though it's with your spouse, it can be an awkward conversation, but at some point you got to break the ice.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you guys being open and honest about, you know, real issues that married couples have a hard time discussing. And I know for us, one of the things that we really enjoy that you guys do, you know, we're members of your Position of the Month club.
Yeah.
And
he said, yeah.
It's a great resource. You know, if you have a hard time, you know, maybe coming up with ideas, you guys put a lot out there, and you know, it makes it a lot easier, and it helps you to kind of break that ice a little bit too.
Yeah. Real quick, I do got to say this. So when we joined your club, I got on there and said, you have a mutual friend. And I was like, what? And then, so I got on there and I text my friend and I was like, dude, I'm dying right now. I just found you in this club. He's like, oh yeah, we joined so-and-so and this and that. And I started dying laughing. So it was like this total shock. I was like, hey, I already know somebody in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And it helps though, because John, I think you said it well, that first time it can be awkward. Mm-hmm. And yet if we're going to experience the extraordinary in our marriage, we need to take action. Mm-hmm. When we have to be intentional on that. So the first conversation doesn't even have to be all in on the sex thing. If sex is something that you guys haven't really discussed, the first conversation is, honey, I would like to just set aside 15 minutes where you and I outside of the bedroom can just begin to talk about our sexual intimacy. And that's where the 19 questions to amazing sex can come in, because it's questions that you guys can just sit there and go, hey, let's ask and answer these first few questions or whatever. Let's ask and answer as many questions as we can in 15 minutes. I mean, I remember one email we got, a guy said he and his wife were on the first question for 40 minutes. It was the best thing that ever happened to them. They didn't go any farther on that particular day because they went up to their bedroom and in his words, the most amazing sex they had had.
Wow.
I was like, okay, great. So they started off, they were just willing to get that one question started, which led to a 40-minute conversation, which led to then the most amazing sex they had. And I'm like,
that's where that intimacy comes in right there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like there should be like that disclaimer that goes across the bottom of the TV right there when Tony says this. Get results are not guaranteed. Right. This is an individual circumstance.
Right, right.
But the truth of the matter is that when we make choices to listen to our spouse, when we make choices to create an environment where our spouse can share what's working, can share what they desire, can share, you know, all of these different aspects, then you are going to create an environment where the two of you are like, you know what, let's try that out. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, or tell me more about that. Let me see how I can meet that need. And so it's not this like, oh my gosh, it has to be absolutely perfect. It's like, no, this is just like when you're growing a business, you're going to stub your toe. You're going to have those things you put out there and you're like, oh, that did not work the way I thought it would. Well, the same thing happens in marriage, but you want to have an environment where the two of you can say, okay, you know what, let's regroup and let's figure out what went well and what we still need to work on to move it forward.
That's good stuff, guys. As we wrap this up and close this up, we listen to you guys every week. You guys have a ton of great topics and shows. Will you let my audience know where is the best place to find you guys and to learn more about the topics that we've discussed today?
Yeah, so best place to go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com. You can get all of our articles. You can find the podcasts there. You can also find us on iTunes under One Extraordinary Marriage or Stitcher Radio or whatever your podcast app may be. For the 19 questions to amazing sex, we'd love for you guys to jump on that. You can get that at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/19 questions. Put in your email. You're going to get that right to your inbox. Print it out. Be intentional. That's the intentional part. Print it out and make sure you bring it up to your spouse. Like, hey, we're going to take some time this week, and we're going to cover this. And then lastly, position of the month club, you know, these guys are in it. They're getting tons of value out of it because we give some really fun stuff in there. If you want to check that out, go to positionofthemonthclub.com.
Awesome. Casey, as I wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to say?
We just have had a lot of fun with you guys. Thank you so much for coming on, and we want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. Happy Valentine's Day.
And we will catch you guys soon because we're going to be in the great state of Texas.
Can't wait.
We're not a state. We're a country.
Yeah, all right. Well, whatever. We'll be there. We'll be there soon. And hopefully we're going to see you guys there.
Oh, I'm just joking. All right, guys. Hold on just a second as I wrap this up. Roar Nation, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed these conversations. They are not topics we normally discuss, but I feel like they are important for every marriage and every relationship to hit because sometimes they're awkward, and I love awkward conversation anyway, so it makes it fun. That being said, all of these things will be discussed. All the links to One Extraordinary Marriage will be in the show notes, and we will also be having giveaways as well. So please check into that on Facebook. And if you have any questions, shoot us an email, and please rate and review us in iTunes. We love you guys. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.